Proverbs chapter 8. I've entitled the lesson this morning, Wisdom Speaks. Now, the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes are both kind of unique in the way that they're written. But just like every other book of the Bible, the subject of the book of Proverbs is Christ. The book of Proverbs is written to show us Christ our wisdom, to give us instruction in the wisdom of God, to show us the blessing of faith in Christ our wisdom. Now, the book of Proverbs is not a compilation of cute sayings that we can live by. It's written, just like all of the Bible, to reveal Christ. The book of Proverbs is instruction from our Father in Christ our wisdom. You notice how often through the book of Proverbs, Solomon speaks to his son. He said, "My son, listen to my instruction. My son, do this. My son, hear this." This is instruction from our Father in Christ our wisdom. So in chapter 8, I thought it's about two different texts to preach from. I thought, well, we'll look at what wisdom has to say. Wisdom himself speaks in chapter 8. And, a person is always someone who speaks. Well, that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And first, I want us to see this. Wisdom does indeed speak. Look at verse 1. "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" Now, this is good news. Wisdom speaks. Christ speaks to somebody. Now, in his grace, God doesn't leave all men in their ignorance. You know, we're born in ignorance, but God doesn't leave all men in their ignorance. Christ speaks to them. In his grace, God doesn't leave men to their own devices. If we were left in our own devices to do what we think is best, we'd all end up in hell. But Christ, in his mercy and in his grace, speaks to men. And that's my prayer this morning. It's my prayer every time we meet, that you not hear the words of a man, but that Christ himself will speak to his people. There's an article in the bulletin by Rolf Barnard. I'd encourage you to read it. Has God spoken to you? He's going to speak to somebody. You know, we have the whole Bible, all of the Word of God is given to men. This is God speaking to men. And look in Hebrews chapter 1. And when we say it's God speaking to men, God's word is Christ speaking to men. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in divers and different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. God has in these last days, in all these days after the death and resurrection of our Lord, spoken unto us by his Son. When we read God's word, this is Christ speaking. Now, God has spoken. He's spoken to men by his prophets. He's spoken unto men by his apostles who wrote the New Testament. He speaks unto men through his preachers today. God has spoken to men in creation. Look at Romans chapter 1. God's spoken to men in creation. He's spoken to men in their conscience. So we don't have any excuse to not know that God is, because God has spoken. In Romans 1 verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." It's God's put it in them, in their conscience. "For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We're without excuse not to know that God is. "And men show themselves to be fools." They show the foolishness of our nature when they refuse to listen to Christ. He's spoken. And it's our foolishness that refuses to listen to him speak and do things our way instead of God's way. And I tell you, the problem isn't that God speaks in such language we can't understand it. Now, God could speak in such a way. He's so high above us, he could speak in such a way we never understand him. But he hadn't done that. He's spoken to us clearly, simply, in language that we can understand. You can take the King James Version. You can change all of these and the thous you want to. That's not the problem. Men understand the Bible exactly the way it's written in the King James Version. The problem is not that they don't understand it. The problem is, by nature, men don't believe what God has to say about His Son and from His Son in His Word. And if we don't understand, it's because we're willingly ignorant. That's what God's Word says. Now, men refuse to hear, but Christ speaks anyway. Wisdom does indeed speak to men, and I'm thankful. Here's the second point I want us to see. Men cannot say they've never heard. Christ, the wisdom of God, has spoken in very public places. Look at verse 2 of Proverbs chapter 8. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Christ speaks in very public places. He speaks from high places because he's high and lifted up, so he's going to have to speak from high places. There have been times in Solomon's time, the time of the Old Testament, God spoke from heaven. Before the scriptures were completed, he spoke to men from heaven. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to Abraham. But God brought his gospel. He brought the word of salvation a whole lot closer to us than that. He brought it so close he sent his son into this world, made of flesh, to live as a man for this purpose, to reveal God to us. Christ came to reveal God's way of salvation. He came to reveal, to speak, and to reveal the righteousness to the lost, the way of righteousness. He came to speak and reveal to us the way of forgiveness of sin for the guilty. And Christ came in a very public manner. He came to the religious world of his day. He came to the Jews. He came unto his own. His own received him not, but he came. And he spoke in all their public places, didn't he? He spoke to them in their high places, on their high holy days. He spoke in the tabernacle, or in the temple, and in the synagogues. He spoke in the gates. He spoke in the places where people gathered. It seemed like everywhere our Lord was a public place, because people just kept flocking to him, and he spoke to them in a very public manner. And look over in John chapter 9. He spoke in plain language that everybody understood. Now, they hated him for it, but they understood what he was saying. Even those who were his most stout enemies, they understood what he was saying. In John 9, verse 39, "And Jesus said, for judgment I'm come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see, they who think they see, might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? They understood what the Lord was saying about them, that all men, them included, they're spiritually blind. They understood, they just didn't believe him. Look at verse 41. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, if you knew you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. They understood what he was saying. They just didn't believe, and so they died in their sin. And Solomon said that wisdom crieth at the gates. Now our Lord, Scripture records him often crying because he had an important message. Look in John chapter 7. I want to look at a few of these places where Scripture tells us that our Lord cried. He cried so that we would know some things. He cried so we would know he was sent of God. John 7 verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am. I'm not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I'm from him, and he has sent me. Now he cried that important message so we know he was sent from God to speak to men. He cried so that the spiritually thirsty would come to him and drink. Look at verse 37 of John 7. That last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He cried so the thirsty would come drink. Look at John chapter 11. He cried so that the spiritually dead would hear and live. John 11, verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." He cried that the dead would live spiritually. And he cried, look in John chapter 12, he cried so we would know that if we're ever going to see God, if we're ever going to understand God and believe God, we must see and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me only, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Our Lord cried so we would have light, so that we would see and understand he is from the Father. He cried from the cross, "I thirst." And he cried that so his people would know he's suffering as our substitute. He suffered for his people who hunger and thirst after righteousness, so we'll never thirst for righteousness again. He cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He cried that so we, his people, would know, so we'd have the comfort and assurance and confidence to know he's suffering as a substitute for his people. He's suffering, bearing the sins of his people. And he fully suffered for those sins, so his people will never suffer separation from the Father. He cried. I'm so thankful Christ our wisdom cried in such public places. That cry is good news. That cry is the good news of the gospel that's heard all through the ages. He cried, and we still hear him today. His cry to his people. His cry speaking of the gospel, revealing himself to us. Now look back in Proverbs chapter 8. Here's the third thing I want us to see. And this is very important. Christ our wisdom speaks because his people couldn't understand any other way. Unless he speaks and teaches us, we'll never understand. Look at verse 4. "Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart." Now Christ speaks to men. He doesn't speak to angels. He doesn't speak to demons. He speaks to men. And he doesn't speak to all men, does he? Not in mercy and grace, he doesn't. In mercy and grace, he speaks to sinful men. Not all men, sinful men. He doesn't speak to the best of men. He speaks to the worst of men. He speaks to men who are lost in sin, so they can be found. He speaks to men who are dead in sin, so they can have life. He speaks to men who are spiritually foolish, so that they can understand God. And this is the power of Christ speaking. All of us by nature, we're nothing more than simple sinners. We can't understand the most simple spiritual truth. Not and believe it, we can't. We can't understand the ABCs of the gospel because our mind is too simple. It's too simple to be able to comprehend it. But you know, when Christ speaks, when he speaks to the heart, that simple sinner suddenly understands wisdom. He understands Christ, who is the wisdom of God. You can hear preachers preach all your life long and not really understand what they're saying. But when Christ speaks, you understand the great mystery of godliness. You understand not only how God could be made manifest in the flesh, but why was God made manifest in the flesh? So he could be the representative of his people. So he could be the substitute of his people. That's the only way God could save someone as sinful as us. If God's manifest in the flesh and does for us what we can't do for ourselves. When Christ speaks to you, that's so obvious. He said, "Well, where have I been? Why didn't I see that before?" Christ hadn't spoken yet. But when he speaks, the simple understand wisdom. When Christ speaks, we understand. This is how God saves sinners. It's the only way God can save sinners. through the sacrifice of someone perfect and holy and righteous. And that'll never happen if all you ever hear is the preacher speaking to the head. But when Christ speaks to the heart, the foolish, the simple understand. When Christ speaks in grace and power, that fool understands. And that's what we are by nature. We're fools. We're just like our father Adam. We're fools. We go the wrong way. We rebel against God. Left to ourselves, we'd always make the wrong choice because we're foolish. We'd always go the wrong way because we're fools. Well, I want you to look in Isaiah chapter 35. When Christ speaks to the heart, when he speaks in power, suddenly that fool goes the right way and he can't get off of it. Isaiah 35 verse 8. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools. Even though by nature they were born fools, they shall not err therein. By nature were the nature of Adam, we're fools. But when Christ is made unto us wisdom, we'll never err in him. We'll never leave him, the way of salvation in him. Now, this is a whole lot more than head knowledge of some facts and figures of the gospel. You know, I can give you head knowledge. I can teach you to recite back, you know, certain simple tenets of the gospel. But all that is head knowledge. That's not going to save anybody. But when Christ speaks, if our soul is going to be saved, Christ must speak to us. And when he speaks, he gives heart faith. He gives a new heart. He gives heart understanding, and only Christ can do that. Look here at the end of verse 5. He says, "And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." See, salvation's a heart work. It's not an understanding head. It's an understanding heart. Salvation is not knowledge. It's not knowledge of doctrine. It's not knowledge of the technical way. You know, God saves sinners. Salvation is a heart work. Salvation is a new birth. Salvation is receiving a new heart from God. It's new life. Now, with that new heart comes some knowledge and understanding, doesn't it? But heart knowledge is not knowing facts. Heart knowledge is knowing a person. Look in John chapter 17. Heart knowledge is knowing wisdom, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord tells us this in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, in verse 3. "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That's heart knowledge, is knowing Jesus Christ. And that salvation is to know him. Well, fourthly, everything that Christ says is worth hearing. It's always worth believing. Christ, our wisdom, speaks excellent things. Look in verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 8. "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things." Now, those two words, excellent things, it means chief, it means captain, and it means head. Well, this is Christ. Christ is speaking of himself. He's the chief. He's the chief cornerstone on which the whole church is built. This is, when Christ speaks, he speaks of himself. He's the captain. He's the captain of our salvation. And when he speaks of these excellent things, he's speaking of himself. He's the head of the church, and we're the body. What more excellent subject can you have than Christ our Savior? Everything about him is excellent. When he speaks of excellent things, he speaks of himself. And Christ our wisdom speaks right things. Verse 6, he says, "Hear, for I'll speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." Now, these right things, they're true things. They're straight things. They're smooth things. But like the scriptures talks about, our Lord coming and making straight the crooked. That's what he's talking. These are true things. But you know what else it means? Right things. It means true things. It means straight things. And it means truth in sweetness. Now that's Christ. If we preach Christ in such a way that that preaching is not sweet, and not sweet to the soul, then we've not preached him right. Because these right things are sweet to the believer. Christ makes everything straight. He makes a smooth, he is the smooth, straight path to God. Now that's sweet. We can preach that in sweetness to sinners. And when Christ speaks of himself, he speaks of right things. Because he is the believer's righteousness. It's Christ who makes his people righteous. Now, if we want to talk about righteousness, we want to talk about how a sinner is made righteous, and we do that in terms that are argumentative and difficult to understand, then we're not preaching Christ right. You know, if you're dead set on preaching imputed righteousness, you're going to do it wrong. You really are. You're going to preach it in an argumentative, philosophical way. But if you preach Christ, our righteousness, righteousness imputed, now you can preach that message to sinners in a sweet way. It's a true message that's preached in sweetness. A sinner is made righteous in Christ, our righteousness. He came to reveal the righteousness of God, not through our obedience to the law, but through his obedience to the law for us. Now that message is sweet, isn't it? And it's a message that's worth listening to. And Christ, our wisdom, speaks truth because he is the truth. Look at verse 7. He says, "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." The gospel of Christ is pure truth. The gospel declares truth. It declares the truth of God. And the only way we'll ever see the truth of God is if we see the Lord Jesus Christ. He declares the truth of God. People say God is love. Well, that's true. But how do you know that? The only way you can know that is seeing the Father sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, therein is love. We know that God is just and will by no means clear the guilty. We know that because he told us that in his word. Can you give me the preeminent example of that? Look to Christ at Calvary. The Father made his Son to be sin for his people, and in justice he wouldn't clear him. He put him to death. He will by no means clear the guilty. We know God is gracious, don't we? How do you know that? The only way you know God is gracious is by seeing Christ our substitute, suffering what our sin deserves, so God can be gracious to us. God gave his Son what we deserve so he could give us what his Son deserves. That's grace. Christ came and revealed the truth of God. Christ came and declared the truth about men. All men are lost in sin. All men are ruined by sin. But I don't care how often I tell you that, you know what? The only time you'll ever know it is when you see Christ. When Christ speaks and you see him, then when you compare yourself to his sinless perfection, then you'll know you're ruined in sin. Christ came to reveal the truth of righteousness. This is what the Pharisees didn't understand. They thought righteousness was something they did through the law. Righteousness is not something we do or we earn. Righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're made righteous in him. And everything that Christ says, everything that's declared in the gospel, now, it's truth, whether we understand it or not. You know, whether I understand something doesn't have any impact on whether it's true or not. Everything Christ declares is true, whether we understand it or not. So we're just to pray for faith to believe him, because whatever he says is truth. It's worthy to be heard and worthy to be believed. Now, we touched on this earlier. Christ is worthy to be heard. Because when he speaks, he gives understanding. You can't understand anything about this book unless Christ reveals it to you. But when Christ speaks and reveals himself, suddenly you understand God's word. Look at verse 9. He says, they're all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Now, I was in high school. I had a teacher. He taught government. The name is Mr. Schrader. I would always tell Mr. Schrader, your tests are too easy. You're just making a mockery of this thing. And he'd say, every test is easy if you know the right answers. Well, every text of this book, every verse of this book is easy once you know the answer is Christ. When you know the answer is Christ, God's word becomes plain. If he'll just reveal Christ to us, this word becomes plain and simple to understand. But it'll only be plain if God is pleased to reveal Christ to us. I'll give you two examples. Nicodemus. Now, there's a student of the Scriptures, don't you imagine? I mean, it was his job. He was a student of the Scriptures. And he knew this man Jesus. Now, he's something special. He came to talk to him, didn't he? And he found out he had absolutely no understanding of those Old Testament Scriptures. He had no understanding of the new birth. He didn't understand all those Old Testament types and pictures. He didn't understand the serpent lifted up on a pole. And if Nicodemus ever did get any understanding of that, you know when he got understanding of that? When he saw Christ lifted up on a pole. Then he understood. But God, the Holy Spirit, had revealed Christ to him, or he never could understand. He was a master in Israel and didn't understand. Saul of Tarsus is a second example. Now, there's a student of the Scripture, wasn't he? Oh, this man was, he knew the law. He had not just the Ten Commandments memorized. He had the whole thing memorized. He was so zealous of that law. But Paul told us Saul had no understanding of the law, didn't he? He had no understanding that sin was in him. It's not what he did or what he didn't do, that sin was in him. Saul, he knew the law. But he had no understanding that he was dead in sin. Until when? He saw Christ. When Christ was pleased to reveal himself to Saul, Saul gained understanding. He gained wisdom. He said, I was alive without the law once. I thought I was alive because I had no understanding of the law. But when I saw Christ, the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. I suddenly realized I was dead in sin. Paul, when did you realize that? When Christ spoke. When he unhorsed me and he revealed himself to me and spoke. And then the law was so plain to Paul, but it was after he saw Christ. When he got the key, every text was simple, wasn't it? Now, Christ is worth listening to. Everything he says is true. It's right. It's sweet. And everything he says is worth listening to because everything he says is so valuable, we don't have anything to compare it to. Look at verse 10. He says, receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Just everything you can think you desire, it cannot be compared to Christ, our wisdom. Now, it'd be nice to have a big old bag of gold, wouldn't it? That'd be nice. You know, we'd have enough to pay the bills and do whatever we want. That'd be nice. But that bag of gold is nothing, absolutely worthless compared to knowing Christ, compared to having Christ, our wisdom. Gold's valuable now, but there coming a day it's going to be worthless. If Revelations is telling us a true vision, we're going to make streets out of it one day. Just walk on it. You won't even think about it. It's worthless. But Christ will be eternally the glory and light of heaven. There, nothing can be compared to knowing him, to having him. And we'd all like to have a big old bag of precious gems, wouldn't we? Boy, if I had a bag of rubies, I could buy anything I wanted. Yeah. But Christ is so much more valuable. Christ, having Christ, gives us what silver and gold and precious gems could never buy. You can buy a lot of things with gold and silver and precious gems. But the one thing you can't buy is the redemption of your soul. Christ gives the redemption of your soul. That's how valuable he is. Well, then what are we to do? Seek Him. Seek every opportunity to hear Him speak. Seek every opportunity to know Him, to be in the place where He may be pleased to reveal Himself to you, because His words are life itself. He's going to speak. Oh, I pray He'll speak to us this morning, because His